Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Unfortunately, what you're about to hear is real. The members of this radio program are simply not that bright, or what some people would call educated. They are merely stupid. They're not trying to offend anyone on purpose, and all have played doctors on TV. You have been warned and are cordially invited to join the party. This is the men's room.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville. The trippers, the grasshoppers, the hip ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying high as a kite.
This is the men's room with Miles and Thrill. You know what they say, shake your radio more than three times, and you're playing with it. You're listening to The Men's Room.
Hey, away we go. Welcome to show number 3,106. Along with Steve the Thrill Hill, the Ted Smith, Robin Fox, and Mike Hawk. Are the men's room. On tap today, who sucks less? The word goes down under. Get ready to play Profile This. Plus headlines, a men's room shot of the day, fun with listener emails, and everyone's favorite, TV Time with Ted.
The clack.
Riggity draw. All right, here we go as we head to Florida where a man decides to get castrated from a man with no medical training. Meanwhile, Florida man's girlfriend goes stone cold Steve Austin on his ass and needs a little restraining. Man tries to steal Walmart electric scooter, then the battery died. BBC reporter recording nature sounds dragged away by grizzly is no longer alive. And Newark passenger leaves his black snake at the TSA checkpoint. That is all coming on today's very special episode of The Men's Room.
And now, here's the question.
Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours. All right, sometimes a mechanical error, let's face it, it can really ruin your day. We go to New Jersey, where a man fell out of a subway train and onto the subway tracks when the train's doors opened, but they opened on the wrong side. So he's leaning against the side that was not supposed to open. They did, and he plummets to the tracks below. But train doors, as we discovered today, apparently they're kind of a tricky business. In Japan, a bullet train traveling at 175 miles an hour made an emergency stop because they realized, oh, hey, man, we left one of the doors open. The good news, no one fell out of the train, but still, that's scary stuff. But then people are willing to pay money to be scared. At an amusement park in Florida, two guys strapped into the slingshot-style ride. You know the ones, they pull you down and launch you up in the air. Just before they were about to be launched, one of the two main cables that do the slinging, yeah, it snapped and frayed. Put it in perspective, if it snapped 10 seconds later, there's a good chance that these two guys would be dead. Like I said, sometimes mechanical errors, they can ruin your day. It's no fault of your own. Something goes wrong and you have to deal with it. And that is what today's question is all about. We want to know what went wrong mechanically.
Be part of the big show. Call 844-999-OLA. Like the Men's Room on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Men's Room Live. And send your emails to themensroom at mensroomlive.com. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh. Hola, bitches. You're listening to The Men's Room.
Oh, Charles, and away we go. Welcome to show number 3106. What a large and in charge program we have for you today. Guaranteed future repeat is once again the exciting return of Who Sucks Less. Steve the Thrill Hill,
yeah.
You bring us three stories from the news. They suck. It's amazing that you can find these stories. Not a lot of bad news out there, but somehow you come up with three stories from the week's news. All of them suck to some degree. It is up to us to determine which of the three stories we have that suck the least. Now, how are we looking this week as far as who sucks less?
These are not the worst people in the world. I believe Mike Hawk put it best earlier in the office. He said, this is basically a tribute to a-holes. That's all. They're not the worst people.
But they're not the nicest people.
They're a-holes. Okay. That's the best way to put it.
Good news, Ted. We're going to go down under with a little Aussie Ted in Melbourne. Ted, as the word goes down under, I have some terms that are only used in Australia, and it's part of their slang, and ironically enough, part of the Australian slang of the English language is that they tend to shorten a lot of their words. So I'm going to give you guys the word, and you try to figure out what we're talking about as far as, and Melbourne, Ted, I know you're going to nail a lot of these.
All over it.
And, of course, we are a huge brekkie show. Down in Australia, because we're on in the morning, right?
That's the one that I know is brekkie.
Because we got so many emails from people down in Australia, this is the honest to God truth, who say, hey, we listen to you in the morning, that's what time you come on live, it's a brekkie show.
Which would be a breakfast show, but basically if you're on, it could be TV brekkie show, radio brekkie show, burlesque brekkie show.
And you just eat it.
And back to what we're saying about the slang, that should give you a pretty good idea. It's breakfast, Australians shorten it to brekkie.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of that going on with the word. We'll drink and toast with a shot of the day, another round of profile this. And today we're going to talk about what went wrong mechanically, and we start in New Jersey. As during the Monday evening commute, a New Jersey transit worker, he apparently opened train doors on the wrong side, causing a passenger to fall onto the tracks. The New Jersey Transit Association confirmed the incident, saying that the passenger suffered minor injuries and did decline medical attention. The agency also said that the doors were opened on the wrong side due to human error. The door was supposed to open on the platform side of the station.
Right. The platform.
He legit just opened the wrong side.
Yeah, but the guy was leaning against the door because that's not the door that's supposed to open, and and he's gone. The doors quickly closed after the man fell, though, and the commuter says others started yelling to pull the emergency brake, and she ran through three train cars to find a conductor who was completely unaware of what happened. Again, this guy falls out the door. They realize they're error. They shut the door immediately. He's fallen down. People freak out, and then one woman runs as fast as she can to the front of the train to try to get the conductor to stop the train from moving.
Which she eventually did.
Good times on the New Jersey subway there. Speaking of trains, we head to Japan. A Japanese bullet train left one of its doors open while traveling 175 miles an hour. None of the 340 passengers were injured, and the train's operator made an emergency stop when he noticed the indicator for the open door. How can I get in my car and drive not 4 feet before all kinds of lights and buzzing and everything else telling me that my door is open happens? This is a train that goes 175 miles an hour. Surely they have that technology.
They do. The best I can tell, when you go through the story, I'm guessing they said he noticed the indicator light. I think they mean that literally. Like, I believe that thing was on the whole time. He just finally got around to noticing it.
So the bullet train ended up getting stuck in a tunnel for 15 minutes. They made some checks, manually opened, shut doors, and all that stuff. The train arrived in Tokyo about 19 minutes late. But you got to keep in mind, this is a high-speed train. I mean, if you're 19 minutes late, okay. But either way, that thing's going pretty fast, 175 miles an hour. But can you imagine the wind blowing through? Can you imagine everything else when that train picked up that speed and just started flying down the road?
I mean, the only time I've felt, air in my face moving that fast is when I went skydiving. But also, that's a controlled fall. I volunteered to do that or something entirely different if I'm sitting on a train and the door's open.
Yeah, but you had a mechanical failure. And the guy who was jumping with you basically said, hey, look, you need to kick your legs because the parachute was tanked.
That's not what he said.
Or bicycle your legs.
He told me this after the fact so as not to do panic. So it's my first time skydiving, all right? And you're right, there was a mechanical error. He just said to me, and he was real calm, he said, hey, man, we're going to kind of go vertical for a second and kick your legs like you're riding a bicycle. And keep in mind, they're filming this the whole time you're jumping, so I assume it's just something they want you to do. But again, I'm going to follow directions when I'm falling toward the earth. So I do it. My perspective, parachute came out, we land on the ground, everything's cool. He's like, how was it? I said, man, that was fantastic. I was kind of nervous, thanks. And he goes, look, the reason I had you kick your legs like a bicycle, our initial chute didn't open. I'm like, I'm sorry, what? He's like, yeah, I was having trouble, but I didn't want you to know. I'm like, good looking out. I don't know why what I did helped.
Because it spins. Basically, what happens is the cords get tangled.
Right.
And when you make that kicking motion, it spins all that out. So it allows the parachute, hopefully, to open. If that doesn't happen, you got to go to plan B, which is the backup chute, from what I understand.
Okay, look, I didn't ask. I was just like, hey, if you had told me, man, I need you to pick your nose and, like, whatever you need me to do, I'm going to do. But, yeah, I'm glad he told me after the fact. But he's like, yeah, it's kind of scary because there's two of us. It's double the weight.
Yeah, I'm with you. That'd be terrifying.
Once you told me that, I was done. I was, first of all, I'm afraid of heights, but I was absolutely not going to do this ever in my life.
It's not about being scared of heights. Look, you cannot be scared of heights, but once you physically leave a plane, I mean, you understand, like, it's just a situation that either things go well or chances are I eat it, but it's still pretty invigorating. It's, like I said, the most terrifying thing to me, when you watch it on TV or in a movie and people skydive, it looks like they float out of the plane. When you're on the plane and you see someone leave before you, like, they're gone in a heartbeat, man. And it just changed my perspective, because at that point, I'm like, this is nothing like the movie, and now he's inching me closer and closer to the door.
Your turn.
Yeah, and I'm like, hey, man, I don't want to, and I got about that much out, and we're just out in midair.
And what do you do? Can you even scream?
Yes.
You can.
Yes, you can. But.
Did you?
I did the manly scream. So this was my thought going into this, right? When you're terrified, like if a lion's coming at you, get the high-pitched scream.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I wanted to do. But I said, don't do that. Do it like you're having an adrenaline rush. You know, the, yeah! But what I'm really thinking, that's honest to God. I just lowered my voice. But basically, I was screaming, but I disguised it as testosterone.
Our question, what went wrong mechanically? 844-999-OLA.
Hey, I still want to do it, but it sounds terrifying.
I would do it again. So it's not that terrifying.
I've just heard it can be tight on your thighs.
It can be tight on your groin, but you don't care. All right. Hello, Scotty. Welcome to the men's room.
How's it going, fellas?
Hola.
So check this out. I was in the military for 3 years, but when I was in basic training, we were training with the M24 saw, or 249 saw. We cleaned them. We did everything. We loaded them. The guy next to me didn't put his clips in to where the trigger assembly attaches to the weapon. He started firing. It came off. And the weapon just went automatic and just started shooting rounds everywhere.
How many people are around?
There had to be at least 30 of us.
And what did he do? Just point the gun in the air and he didn't know how to stop it?
No. We were on the ground. We were laying down and he started to fire at the target and he noticed that the trigger came off.
Uh-oh.
So now the firing pin is just going crazy because there's nothing to stop it. And it was going through round. The barrel went red hot. It was crazy.
And was he okay?
Yeah, we were all okay. The drill sergeants weren't happy with him, but, you know, everybody survived.
So it was his error that caused that to happen?
It was his error, yeah.
I will say that
crazy.
That is the weapon that, like, growing up and stuff, whenever you watch a war movie, because it's like the belt-fed one, you're always like, that's the cool one.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, that's a badass one right there.
But you can't stop that belt. So what you're saying is, once that trigger came off, it's going to go through that whole line of ammunition before it can actually stop.
Yeah, it was bouncing off the ground. It was, man, the drill sergeants were trying to get to it, to grab it, and it was crazy.
He let go, or it was just too much of a kick for him?
He let go. He actually let it go. He was supposed to hold onto it and hold it down, but he jumped back, and he didn't know what to do with it.
Wow, that sounds really scary.
How long did it take to go through?
I just wanted to ride it out, you know what I mean?
How long did it take to go through all the ammo?
Probably about a minute.
Damn.
That's got to be a long, long minute.
And was there any... So when you mess up that bad in the military and you're in basic training, well, what is next? What do you have to do? Do you get punished?
Oh, yeah. We all got punished for his stupidity.
And what did you have to do? Get up in the morning and run? Or how do they address that?
Well, they had a conversation about it, and they stopped all the training for about 2 hours. We weren't allowed to do anything. We played leapfrog, which was... Like, it's insane. They got 30 people in a circle doing leapfrog. You can't stop until they tell you. And then it was jumping jacks, push-ups. It was crazy. It was hell for two hours.
What is the hardest part? Like you say, the leapfrog. What is the hardest thing with all of those different drills? In other words, is it, you know, I don't know. What were the things called where we were in football? We just had to hit the ground.
Up-downs?
Up-downs.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
In the military, they're called front-back goes. because you jump, they tell you to go, you start running, they tell you to hit your front, and then while you're on your front, you're supposed to flip over to your back. And that is probably the hardest thing to do, because after 5 minutes, you're worn out.
Well, sure.
But they keep going and going and going until you learn that, you know, this is some serious stuff.
What is the longest of a run that you've ever been on in that situation?
We did, when we were in Iraq, we were on the base, and we did a 10-mile run.
Okay, in boots.
And that, in full gear, body armor.
And how hot was it? How hot was it when you were doing this 10-mile run?
About 110.
Okay, but ultimately, when you get to Iraq, there are no other mechanical things that happened that went wrong while you were there, just in basic training?
Oh, no. When we were in Iraq, there was a lot of mechanical failures. A lot.
That's comforting.
I was in a Bradley that the cannon wouldn't fire. The round got jammed.
Who's going in there to unstuck, you know, get the thing unstuck?
Unstick it.
Oh, yeah. You had to call the 88 mics, and they're basically like a repair crew.
And so I imagine
your Hummer gets, you know.
So it's like the triple. It's like the AAA of Iraq. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. If you were out at night, you didn't call them because you just hooked up to another vehicle and you towed it back yourself. But if we got hit, we got hit with an IED. It blew the tracks off my Bradley. We literally had to call them, and they have like this giant machine. Has a big pitch arm on it, picks it up, lifts up the front, and, you know, you got to repair it if you can't.
So you were in a vehicle where an explosion happened to the vehicle?
Yeah.
And do you get blown off the ground, or does it turn it upside down, or do you just get out?
I was in a Bradley, and we were rolling through, and we stopped, and we got hit, and this IED blew the Bradley off the ground at least 5 feet.
And you were inside of this thing?
I was inside, yes.
And nobody got hurt in there?
I got a concussion. The Bradley was damaged. But the guys that I had in back, they were already out. The Bradley gunner and the BC, the Bradley commander, they were shaken, but that was about it.
Okay, you're wearing a helmet. Is concussion protocol the same it is when you're a high school football coach says, you got your bell rung, shake it off? Or do they take you aside and give you a little time?
In the military, it's basically like suck it up, cupcake, and yeah. We will deal with this when we get back.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I figured that'd be
just
the
like
case.
The high school football coach.
Yeah, well, they're in a war zone, so.
Yeah. You're telling me you're not in a war zone, Coach Ted, when you're playing high school?
Now.
Come on, you don't get no hype for that? I mean, it's high school football.
Football, you got to worry about the long-term effects, where they're at. You just want to get home.
You know, that's a good point. Like, I'll take a concussion.
Yeah.
I'm cool.
Yeah.
What went wrong mechanically? 844-999-OLA.
You pointed out he's wearing a helmet, and I just could not help but think of Antonio Brown. If he were in the military right now, hey, man, I'm not wearing that helmet. It's not my old helmet. Like, hey, man, it'll keep shrapnel from your brain, whatever. And I'll just say this about Antonio Brown. To me, he's evidence of why you need a helmet.
Oh, they actually took
he's
that helmet.
He's so stupid.
They actually
so
took
dumb.
That helmet and put it to the test and tried to show him why this helmet was so bad. Because they still had some old ones.
Yeah,
so, like, we want to show you what the difference is between the new helmet and the old and how bad you could get hurt wearing this helmet. And it still didn't faze him.
But again, I'm saying he strikes
like
me as someone.
Having a seatbelt that doesn't work.
But he's so stupid, I don't think you notice if anything happened to him. Hello, Aaron. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So my story is I was driving with my friend. I think we were going to go get drunk or something. And we're pulling up to my place and, like, starts getting really, really hot. And I kept asking her if her heater was on. It's like, no. I don't think so, and I was asking her if it was really warm there, too, and she's like, yeah, we're both starting to sweat and everything, and then when there was smoke coming out from the hood, and I'm like, okay, I'm not a mechanic, but I know that's not supposed to happen, so I had to pull over, and I popped the hood, and these flames came out, and it burned off my meager facial hair and my eyebrows.
It did what now? It blew up?
It didn't blow up, but, like, when I lifted up the hood, the flames came out and went right to my face, and it singed off all my facial hair and eyebrows.
How much facial hair did you have before the flames took it off?
just know that an engine's not supposed to be on fire.
Yeah, so did you figure out
I know that.
What happened with the truck?
I don't freaking know. I just hit her with a fire extinguisher, and then she went home the next day.
So you had a fire extinguisher available?
Hell no. We went to the friggin', we pulled over by the store next to my house, and I ran in there and
okay.
grabbed it.
All right, yeah. Okay, that makes
All
sense.
All right.
Yeah, good times.
I had a car blow up on me. And Jolly Joe actually emailed in and said, man, you got to tell the story. I was in my teens, and Mike does car auctions. So Mike,
right.
Mike and I had, was working for a guy who had a used car lot, and I would go and I would drive for him. So we would all drive together. It'd be three or four of us in a car, and we went to the auction. He'd buy three or four cars for his lot, and we'd all drive one back, and that's the way the game was played. Well, it was my turn to buy a car, and I was going to buy my car this time, so I was going to drive back what I bought. So I'm cruising through the parking lot beforehand. Keep in mind, you're never supposed to buy anything in the parking lot before it goes through inspection. But I said, the hell with it. I really like this Volkswagen Golf GT.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need the inspection. I'm going to pay cash in the parking lot. I'm going to get this title. It's going to be my car.
Okay.
I drive it home, no problem. That following Monday, I had to make a trip to North Carolina for my summer job to do a little training. It was a week training at a resort so you could learn how to do the sales job for the summer. So I go down there, and I've got three people in my car driving back through Virginia. And I'm in between two big tunnels, and elevation is pretty severe there for the Appalachians. It's about 5,000-6,000 feet.
Sure.
Going through these two tunnels, I'm in the middle of nowhere in Virginia. And when I say I'm in the middle of I'm from West Virginia. This part of Virginia will scare the living hell out of anybody. This is a place where no one should be. Even West Virginians make fun of that area of Virginia. It's west of Blacksburg. It's no man's land. It's insane. So I'm watching my Volkswagen Golf now heat up exponentially, just like he was saying. I mean, it's getting hot. And I don't know what I can do. And I've already checked all the fluids and everything. But right. It turns out I had a cracked engine block.
Oh, man.
So I started to smell that sweet, sweet smell of antifreeze, which comes up when it's being burned. And I thought,
they could have warned you about that with an inspection.
Well, yeah, they could have. They could have told me there's something wrong with this car. Either way, I'm like, all right, well, we start coasting down this hill, and I'm just thinking, I just need to get to the next exit.
Sure.
All of a sudden, ba-boom. I mean, it is explosion. Like, the front of the car picked up, all right? The entire engine blew into pieces. One of the rods from the engine block shot through the top, from the bottom up of the hood of my car to right. Where the top of the hood of my car was splintered out where it looked like a rocket was shot through the bottom.
Well, it kind of was.
Thank God the engine was placed the way it was, because if it was aimed the other direction, it could have come through the floorboards and killed me just like a bullet that's 6 inches long.
I mean, this right.
So, and then the entire engine falls out of the car. When the engine falls out of the car, it's falling into four or five pieces, and my car is running over the engine. Then the floor falls out of the bottom of this Golf, and I look down, and it's a stick, so I don't have any of my feet on the floor. Anyway, the floor of the car is gone. I'm now watching the interstate fly by me at 50 miles an hour underneath my feet. I'm Fred Flintstone in this thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, and basically, it also blew out the brake line. So now, for some reason, like, I can't stop. Now I'm using the emergency brake to try to pull over, right? Finally pull over. This old man gets out of the truck who's been following me and sees all this smoke and debris. And he walks up to the front of the car and he says, son, are you okay? And I said, yeah. He said, I ain't seen nothing like that since the Challenger.
Oh, jeez.
Swear to God. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Two men are excited to be launched into the air on a slingshot ride at a Florida amusement park. We're in for a scary surprise when, just as they were about to be launched, the ride's cables shredded. Video of the incident taken at the Cobra Adventure Park in Panama City Beach on Saturday night shows the two park goers strapped into a harness on a ride as it gets ready to fly, presumably some hundreds of feet into the air. 3, 2,
Y'all gonna be screaming like sissies. Watch, people shout just before the ride's right side cables seemingly shred and before the slingshot was to be sent flying. An employee is later seen removing the men from the ride. Chrissy Hurst, she posted the video to Facebook and told WTVT that she has ridden the thrill ride many times, but for whatever reason decided not to at the last moment because she had a bad feeling about it.
Tells me she's a saboteur.
And she took the video because the ride's recording system wasn't operating. Typically, they record right. You doing that, screaming, and everything else. You've seen those videos. She said the men received a refund from the adventure park, but it doesn't seem like anyone was really apologetic. She added the men who were strapped in that ride that snapped are completely freaked out still. Cobra Amusement Park did not immediately return Fox News' request for comment. Our question, what went wrong mechanically? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Aaron. Welcome to the men's room.
Hello.
Hola.
So I have a stereotypical, tragic automobile history to tell. I've bought a car and modified the crap out of it. And after years of rebuilding it in college, after the first catastrophic failure I had with it, I was driving it around and doing your stereotypical break-in procedures so that everything seats properly before you go out and rail on it. And I was just about to do the last oil change, and I was out doing a 200-mile drive to finish off that oil. And I was behind a slow semi, and it was the first time I decided to jump on it to go around him, but the semi kind of saw what I was trying to do, and the driver hugged the inside lane and prevented me from going around him. And just as he did that, my car shut off. I had no idea why, so I had to call some friends. They came and got me and started poking fun at me about, you just spent $10,000 rebuilding this car over the last 3 years, ha ha.
Well, and I could understand that you actually spent $10,000 over 3 years to drive a car where the engine shut down.
Was it a major problem, or was it something that you could fix?
Oh, it was as major of a problem as you could have, and it was with my luck and everything. It was that one in a million that if my luck was on the other side of the spectrum, I'd have won Powerball Mega Millions.
Okay, yeah. I did that lottery as well.
What we did was we took it apart after, a couple of days of everybody ribbing me about, it shows what kind of a mechanic you are. We pulled the front cover assembly off, and the timing belt was shredded, which we already knew. But when we pulled the front cover assembly off, we found the one missing front cover assembly bolt, which we traced down and found that it had rattled loose while I was driving, fell out and dropped behind the crank pulley, got wedged in between the cover and the crank pulley, which pushed the cover in. It fell behind the cover, landed on the timing belt, and rode the timing belt all the way to the oil pump and snapped the timing belt, which then caused all of my pistons to, it's an interference engine, so the timing belt went, so all the pistons slammed up into the valves that were open, bending all the valves.
That was the end of that one.
You're right. That is about a one in a million shot.
So it was one of those.
What kind of What kind of car was it?
It was all-wheel drive Eagle Talon. That's basically a Mitsubishi Eclipse, so it's a two-liter turbo.
Mm-hmm.
And I rebuilt it, and it was supposed to be set up for a new turbo to go on it down the road. And it was a dyno tuned, balanced, blueprinted, and everything for 550 horsepower.
Damn, I remember that car came out.
That car was awesome.
Yeah, it was a very cool car. I remember when it came out. I was like, man, that's a sharp looking car.
Is he still there?
No.
I don't know if he was ever going to make that left.
What what went wrong mechanically? 844-999-OLA.
Seemed like a long light. That's the only thing I wanted to ask him. Like, how big's that road, my man?
Right.
What are you going to turn?
Right?
Hello, or just turn it off.
Hello, Matt. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
All righty, I got a good one for you guys.
I had bought a old 72 sports coach RV, a big 30-foot RV, and the thing was amazing. I still miss it. My wife made me sell it after this because she couldn't look at it without getting sick to her stomach. But it was super cherry. Bought it from the second owner who took immaculate care of it. We lived in it for a little while my wife was going to college. And then I got a new job and we moved, and there wasn't any available storage for it. So I had to park it on the side of the road and go move it every couple of days so I wouldn't get a ticket on it.
Mm-hmm.
And wouldn't you know it, while we're waiting for a space to come available, wouldn't you know it, the ignition goes out on it. So it's an old Dodge engine, so I just climb underneath it and use a screwdriver to arc on the starter to start it, right?
Okay.
And so every couple of days I'm having to do that. And it's got to warm up before it'll move. It's the old Dodge engine. You got to warm it up until it is completely warm before it will drive anywhere. And I thought it was warm. I started to pull away from the curb, and the engine died. And so it had the hammer shifter on the side, so I pushed it up into park, and I went and climbed down underneath it, and I arced the starter with the screwdriver. And wouldn't you know it, I did not push it all the way up into park. I pushed it up into reverse.
Oh, no.
And yeah, and so it started up, and it started crawling backwards on me.
Did it roll
and
over
I
you?
I tried to grab the cross arm to keep it from rolling over the top of me because I'm laying right behind the front tire, right?
And hang on
as
for
I
it.
Grabbed the cross arm, the tire hit my shoulder and pinned me to the ground.
Oh, no. Hola! The shenanigans continue on the Men's Room Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.